We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming into the show the host of his own program on iHeartRadio and the author of a terrific new book entitled Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. Torchy Smith joins us. Torchy, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, hello, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. We share a love for talking to very interesting people from our past.
Oh, yeah.
What is it about these stars of the early days of TV and film that fascinate us so much?
Well, those that are baby boomers and grew up in that era, we had three stations to watch. That was it. And you were all going to watch Milton Berle, that was for sure. But at 4 o'clock was Howdy Doody, and before that was the Test Pattern. So anything that was on, we watched. That had to do with kids especially. And when we went to school the next day, we talked about the Mouseketeers. Hey, did you see that thing on the Mouseketeers where they did this, or the Hardy Boys? And everybody was on the same page. Today, I have my grandchildren over. Hey, want to watch this? Nope. Next. Want to watch this? Nope. Next. Want to watch this? Nope. Next. I go through 12 things before I get to something. And when they go to school, believe me, they're not talking about what they watched.
No, that's for sure.
It's a whole different world.
Well, it's a great collection of conversations that you've had on your show through the years. How tough was it to whittle it down to the select ones that made the book?
It was tough. Because the way it is now, because my publisher is a division of Simon & Schuster, and I just couldn't, even if I had them on tape or recorded them, I needed their permission. And I not only needed their permission, some of them went over every word. They said, you know, maybe I said that, but let me change it to this. Some of them said, yeah, Torchy, go ahead, fine, great. So it was really a process. And, of course, dealing with, I won't say which ones, but dealing with divas and getting things just right. They wanted to add things. They wanted to subtract things. So then, of course, pictures you have to buy. Most of the stars, which people don't realize, don't own their own pictures. They own the current pictures, but anything that they did in the studio or on TV or movies, they don't own those pictures. So it was quite a put together kind of tour, and it came together, and it was 3 years before I actually wrote the book.
Wow. Well, you mentioned the Mouseketeers and an impressive lineup there as you track down 10 former Mouseketeers, and
that's
a pretty impressive list from, my gosh, it takes me back like it does everybody to their youth, Cubby and Bobby and Doreen, and my goodness, even Paul Peterson, who went on, of course, to star in the Donna Reed Show.
Yes, and Johnny Crawford, who had a small introduction on the Mouseketeers also. Johnny Crawford was from The Rifleman. I started with the Mouseketeers. My first chapter of the book tells the story how I got started, and my first Mouseketeer was one of the least popular. I thought, well, I'll start with the least popular. You know, hangs up. So what? So, and he did. His name is JJ. He's quite a character. And he said, what do you call? How'd you get my number? How do you call me? Well, I have a way of getting numbers. I did my reunion from Shaker Heights High School, and I had a way of finding people. And I also had the technology that nobody had my age. I'm 73 now. And people my age, again, are kind of in the Stone Age when it comes to recording and doing all the things I've done. So I started with him, and I said, oh, my God, this is not going to be easy. And after a while, I talked him into at least talking to me on the phone, and it was like a half an hour goes by. He starts telling me all these things about when he was a Mouseketeer and how he was bullied and what it was like leaving the show and getting fired. And I'm thinking, why did I record this? Why did I record? And then we set the time, and he comes on the program. At that time, I was just starting, just recording. And it wasn't even on iHeart then. And he comes on and says, you know something? My life ended when the Mouseketeers ended.
Wow.
There was no reason why a child should go on. They would. I wanted to go berserk and blow my brains out at some point because I couldn't make sense of anything. And I thought, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. And he starts telling me things, As it went on, he loosened up. And he says, you know what? I haven't given an interview in 30 years. You're the first one.
Wow.
And I hung up and I thought, oh, my God, I really have something here. Well, I get a hold of Cubby and really talk to Cubby's wife. Cubby was on the road at that time, and I told her the story. And Cubby listened to the interview, and he says, oh, I got to set the record straight. Cubby, he's this guy, you know. He was totally the opposite and such a nice guy. And Cubby's wife was so nice. She got me the rest of the Mouseketeers, a lot of them anyways. And that got the ball rolling.
Well, I tell you, so many great interviews, but the ones that got my attention right away in reading through the book made me very jealous because I had such a crush on both of them as a little kid, the Cartwright sisters.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. I told her that. Well, you should see them now. Angela, I've seen both Angela and Veronica Cartwright. Most people even don't even know their sisters. They actually live next door to one another now after being separated for many years. I won't give too much away, but Angela goes on these cruises, and she was in Sound of Music, and she goes back to the hills of the whole thing and does a tour with people. And Veronica was in horror movies. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But she was in Alien and found her way into that genre. And she's a little more off-guarded. She's not as much of a diva as her sister. But, both of them are excellent actresses. I mean, you know, Angela, of course, was in Danny Thomas. And I heard a lot about her from Sherry Jackson, who was also in the Danny Thomas Make Room for Daddy show. I became friends with her. And so there's all these interconnections of people who were stars in their youth and how they turned out, of course, is part of my book.
We're talking with Torchy Smith. The book is Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. We had Dr. Demento on our show a few months back.
Oh, sure.
And you talked to one of the people who maybe folks don't know, had one of the biggest hits ever on Dr. Demento's show, Fish Heads. Most people don't know Barnes and Barnes, but you unearthed that.
Yes, yes. Dr. Demento is an interesting character. I go to these autograph shows, and sometimes I help out. One of them I actually helped organize, but there's a huge one in L.A. It's four times a year, and it's called the Hollywood Show. And he shows up in his kind of costume. I don't know if you want to call it a costume. And I'm thinking, who knows this guy? what kind of following does he have compared to some of the people there? He had a huge following.
Oh, yeah.
I was shocked. I mean, and people bring in stuff that of comic books and things that he was in. He was even in a part of the Simpsons program one time. And I just, you know, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. I had heard of Dr. Demento. I didn't know him as much as people on the West Coast. But I was really surprised at the following he has. So he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, and Barnes and Barnes, for people who don't know, one half of that duo was child star Bill Mumy.
Yes, yes. There's an interesting character. It wasn't easy getting an interview with Bill. Very talented, and if you Google his name, people are like, who in the hell's Bill Mumy? He was, before Lost in Space, he was in a Twilight Zone that is absolutely a classic Twilight Zone.
Right, with the creepy kid, Anthony Fremont,
yes.
Sending people to
yes.
the cornfield.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes. And then the funny thing is, if you do a Google search on him and do toys, he did a lot of toy commercials for Mattel with these machine guns. That is so inappropriate today. If you watch these cap guns and machine guns, he was promoting, and I talked to him about this. Yeah, I got to keep them after that. He was real excited about that.
There's also a great story in the book, and can you, we want people to buy the book and read it, but
yeah.
Can you share some of the story about Stephen First of Animal House and
sure.
how he didn't give up his pizza delivery gig, and that actually paid off for him?
Yes. Actually, he goes out. Here's something you didn't know. Let me start even before that. He goes out with his wife. He was married. And from the East Coast, they're in a van and a U-Haul type of thing. And he's going across the country, doesn't know anybody in L.A., and halfway across, a sports car smashes into his van. and half the sports car went underneath the van. And he goes out there not knowing anybody. Half his stuff is lost. And he gets a job as a pizza delivery boy. So he had the idea of taking his headshot and resume and stapling it to every pizza he delivers. Lo and behold, somebody from Animal House, a guy named Marty Simmons, the producer, gets a pizza with his picture and resume and becomes, of course, Ken Dorfman and kind of steals the whole scenes of Animal House. And that's how he got his start.
Now, Torchy, it's impressive enough that you have put together all these interviews through the years, but not everybody can get Geraldo Rivera to write the foreword to the book, but you've got a little family connection, right?
Oh, yeah. I've known Geraldo for 15 years now, and I could do a whole show on him.
Well, I bet you could.
But the long story short is my daughter, who's also became a TV producer, but didn't meet him that way, my daughter's best friend married Geraldo. Now, my daughter's best friend's father is passed away, but he would be 1 year older than Geraldo. And this was, I mean, my daughter tried to say, what are you, crazy? Tried to break them up. And now she's really, really close with Geraldo. And actually worked at Fox TV for a while. And, of course, I went to school her name is Erica, who married Geraldo, and Erica's mother and I went to Shaker Heights High School together and were friends when we were kids. And then Erica went to Shaker Heights High School with my daughter. So, I met Geraldo early on, and he happens to be a very nice guy. Somehow Erica got him to move to Shaker Heights now. He lives here.
Wow.
And, yeah, primary residence is here. Even though he's in New York this weekend, he broadcasts. If you see a picture of Cleveland in the background, every time there's a split screen, he lives in Cleveland, in the Cleveland area. So, yeah.
Well, the book was just a delight. It's so much fun to catch up with these people that we've known and loved for all these years. The book is called Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. Torchy Smith, great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us. Good luck with the book, and hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
All right, Rachel, one last thing. Is that one-armed man still looking for you?
Listen, you're going to have to wait till the last episode to find out. I give nothing
that's
away.
That's right.
It's all up to Lieutenant Gerard, not me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Torchy.
Thank you very much.
Right, bye-bye now. That's Torchy Smith talking baby boomers. Good stuff on Downtown.